you will do the tough things first every day, you will increase your productivity by 20%.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If we're going to be successful, we have to take control of our own prosperity.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Education unlocks the door. It's experience that will help you succeed.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Rob Artigo here, once again, your guest host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm a writer and former radio personality. Here with me is Ray Zinn, the longest-serving CEO in Silicon Valley history. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Rob. Good to be with you today.
We've seen in recent years, Ray, a movement toward workplace structures that have been controversial in the area of like equity and inclusion. I want to talk a little bit about how real leaders can encourage continuous improvement and innovation in the workplace without getting tripped up by trendy concepts. So Mike Krell, the way you operated, you basically created safe spaces for risk-taking, feedback, and diverse perspectives that were drivers for both teams and personal development. Isn't that true?
That's right. Absolutely. Very important.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion, in my mind, is really about just respecting every individual, regardless of who they are. That was a major culture at Mike Krell.
Well, diversity, equity, and inclusion is a buzzword so that you basically focus more on inclusion than you did on their performance. And so, you know, while we want everybody to feel included, we don't want to make the decision based on just to include them as far as is their promotions, their growth within the company has to be based on performance. So we want inclusion. There's no doubt. We and diversity is not that important, even though the United States is a very diverse country, probably the most diverse country in the world. You know, we don't want to subtract as you would from performance just to get diversity. I do agree that equity and inclusion are important because we do want to make sure that we're equitable in the way in which we pay people and which way we ensure that they're getting the proper income for their effort, irrespective of their race, color, creed, or sex, or whatever.
Would you call that just being a mindful leader to take that approach?
To what again?
It's being a mindful leader.
Being mindful is making sure that you have, that was a third, by the way, just to back up, that was a third quality of the company. The culture of the company was to have dignity and respect for every individual, regardless of who they are. That doesn't mean you promote them based on diversity, equity, inclusion. Is that you want to respect them. In other words, you want not to disregard whatever performance that they're doing, whether it be a janitor or a vice president. You want to respect what job they are doing and make sure you're mindful of what it is you're asking them to do.
Like you said, it's a buzzword. DEI, call it DEI, it's a buzzword. We've recently sort of turned a corner, don't you think, where because of, I think Elon Musk might have been one of the first people, one of the first big names out there publicly to say, no, we're about, we're performance-based here. And we're going to get away from, playing games with this. We're going to do performance-based, but we're going to give everybody a chance who does good or great to do better.
Yeah. Well, again, we're back to, what it is that we're trying to accomplish. As a kid, playing sports, what we did is we lined everybody up, and then we had the two opposing leaders of the teams, and then we would start picking our players, and I always picked the best ones that I could find. I didn't necessarily pick them to be inclusive, saying, oh, there's a little short guy that's going to be playing football, I'll pick him. I tried to pick the best ones I could for my team because I wanted to win. This is where when you're being mindful, if you're the little guy that's left and nobody wants you, that you're going to feel terrible. I am short anyway. I'm at, and I, And oftentimes I was the last to be picked because I was short, and it did bother me. But I recognized that that was just a, not my personal problem. It's just my heritage, my genetics, as you would. And I accepted it, but that made me more resilient. In other words, because I was short, I wanted to make sure that shortness was not a handicap. And so I performed really well and established my reputation to be very quick and agile. And I found out that I was being picked actually early as a player on a team, because I didn't let my lack of height, if you would, my vertical handicap, I didn't let that become a hindrance. You know, we want to offset that, no matter what our particular handicap is, we want to offset that with our performance. So it all goes back to performance. You're only going to be not included if you let your handicap be your handicap.
If you get two team captains, and I remember that experience myself. There were times when I was picked last, and it was that, you know, that gut feeling, that like sinking feeling that, oh my gosh, don't be last, don't be last, don't be last. I mean, every kid knows that feeling when you're in that situation. But let's say you get your two team captains, you want them to win. You want them both to want to win. And so the goal is, as the leader, you're the team captain, so you're the leader, is to pick the people that are going to help you win. And that's it. And so your analogy is just spot on.
Well, I let my handicap be my advantage. If you do have a handicap, and no matter what it is, work that to your advantage. Don't let it be your handicap become your handicap. You know, in my book, Tough Things First, I tell the story about I lost my eyesight when I was on the road show for IPO in 1994. And first I thought this was going to destroy me as a leader of my company, because my vision was going to be a handicap in running the company. But as it turned out, my handicap became my strength, because I improved my memory and a bunch of other aspects of, I became more caring, more sensitive as a CEO, when I lost my vision, because it required me to be more dependent on other people. So I let my handicap become an advantage. And as a result, we became a very successful semiconductor company, primarily because I didn't let my handicap become my handicap.
Great conversation, Ray. Our listeners can go to toughthingsfirst.com and ask you questions. They can give you some comments there as well. You can also find past podcasts. In some cases, you got video podcasts, so you can just look down the list and find what you want. And also, follow Ray on X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And of course, pick up Ray's books, Tough Things First, and the Zen of Zen Series 1, 2, and 3 on sale now, The Essential Leader, 10 skills, attributes, and fundamentals that make up the essential leader, an Amazon bestseller. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Tough Things First podcast. Proud to introduce Ray Zinn's new book, The Essential Leader, 10 skills, attributes, and fundamentals that make up the essential leader. Available in paperback and digital formats at retailers everywhere. And don't forget Ray's other books, Tough Things First and the Zen of Zen series. Join us again for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast.